complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter from which we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and in particular, verse 20. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Particularly this last part, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Dear friends, without exception, I'm sure we all love to have reason to rejoice. When things are very acceptable to us, comfortable, put within us that happiness in successes and achievements, naturally, of course, we rejoice. But Jesus points out the true rejoicing, which shall ever abide with us, because our names are written in heaven. That is, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, dear friends, how vital it is to know this. To know that our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, which is the only way we shall be exempt from the solemn judgment of God. We read, don't we, in the book of the Revelation, in the day of judgment when all the books are opened, and all the deeds of all mankind shall be revealed. All their sins, all transgressions. They do not remove all the good deeds and righteousnesses which we may have done. For if we are guilty in one point, as if we are guilty in all, and the law can make nothing perfect. If we are guilty under the law in one point, we are guilty, remain guilty. And the scripture there solemnly, as Jesus revealed it unto John on the Isle of Patmos, thou shalt be cast into hell, the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, except those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, dear friends, this is a vital knowledge, isn't it? We need to have a sweet assurance that our names are there. The context of Jesus' words here are in the context of preaching. Jesus is sending 70 of his followers, disciples, into the various places of Judea, into every city and place whither he himself would come. It's the way the Lord has appointed for the knowledge of the truth, as it is in himself as the Saviour of sinners, to be by the preaching of the gospel. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. That's an exhortation we need today, isn't it? This afternoon, so many chapels, even of our own association of churches, there are many empty pulpits. And the ministers of the gospel, they get older. Some are too frail and ill today to preach as they have done. And so, dear friends, there's an absence, as we might say, of the preaching lively of the word of God. That which has been spoken in years gone by is resorted to. Nothing wrong in that. But oh, how we need, as Jesus says here, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labourers into his harvest. Notice the word send. He sends them. They don't go of their own will. They don't go dependent upon themselves. They don't go as if it's something good that they ought to do in accordance with their own minds. The Lord sends those whom he will use as labourers in the harvest of the souls of mankind. Therefore, dear friends, how we need to pray, don't we, that the Lord will send those whom he hath appointed to preach the gospel. Paul, writing to the Romans, speaks about those who need to be saved. They shall be saved who call upon the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How shall they preach except they be sent? And what do they preach? They preach the gospel of peace, the gospel of the grace of God in the gift of his Son, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. Dear friends, that is what we are called to preach, isn't it? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, your only hope of eternal life. Dear friends, there's many that believe, many that hear, but few that believe, the scripture tells us. Now, dear friends, what are we? Are we just hearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are we believers? You see, those who are sent don't just only preach, they're labourers. They preach the gospel and they labour in prayer, that the word of the God's grace will not return unto him void. Dear friends, it behoves all who do pray for ministers to be sent forth in these evil days in which we live, to pray also that which is preached will be received in sinners' hearts. Paul says here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. How shall they hear without the gift of faith? The gift of faith. Oh, dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? The hearing by faith. Now, that is the gift of God. And so sinners are saved by grace through faith. The blessing of the truth as it is in Jesus. made manifest in the souls of a needy sinner, whom the Lord hath quickened by his Spirit to be guilty before a holy God. And that brings great fear, doesn't it? Fear lest they should be left out of the secret of this love of God for sinners through Jesus Christ. Dear friends, it's that which we need to pray for earnestly. That the Lord will send forth ministers of the gospel today, and that they be made willing in the day of his power. Of course, it will not be willingly received, such an exercise. I know that. Now, I objected and rejected and tried to avoid the way the Lord would have me go. But, dear friends, one has to be made willing in the day of his power. And that's another of our prayers, when we pray for the Lord to send out labourers into his harvest, that they preach, they pray for the souls of many, and they're made willing in the day of his power. Oh, dear friends, may there be some amongst you here, I know not, who will be so led into such a way. And the Lord bless his word through you. A word that shall not return to him void, but shall accomplish that which he doth please. And he prospers in the way that he sends it. Then he shall have all the glory, won't he? Oh, the Apostle Paul himself spoke to Corinthians, wrote to the Corinthians, how he felt his weakness in his preaching. It was not of man's oratory. Oh, dear friends, we do not preach in accordance with our own ability and skills to have influence. Like we read, did we not read it this morning, of those who say, or in another part of the scripture, our lips are our own, and by our words we will prevail. Oh, dear friends, there's many in the governments of the world like that, isn't there? But that's not so with the gospel. No, what is spoken in weakness is applied in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the work is done. The Holy Spirit gives faith to hear it. And the Holy Spirit applies it to the heart. And then that Spirit brings forth from those hearts the witness, the glory to Christ for his saving grace that has given them a good hope of eternal life. And dear friends, let us, as an aside, pray earnestly that in these evil days the Lord will so grant the churches these labourers in the gospel for the blessing of many souls. And they don't do it for money, do they? They don't do it for any earthly gain. Jesus sent these 70. He says, go your ways, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Let no one be a hindrance to you. Go forth exactly as you're constrained by the Holy Ghost. And say, into whatever house you enter, peace be to this house. Now, the Lord sent them in the way that he did send this 70. But it was in the place whither he himself would come. You see, don't we then, that such who are sent forth to preach the gospel, they cannot do anything on their own. Without Christ, there is no power in the ministry. No, Christ is there, the glory in the midst, and testifying, dear friends, by his Spirit, that wonderful truth concerning his death, the sacrifice for sin, his glorious resurrection, the hope of eternal life, Satan's power completely destroyed. And so people can rejoice in him, their souls rejoicing. Dear friends, there's no greater rejoicing than to know our sins forgiven, than have a hope of eternal life. That sweetness of the power of the shed blood of Christ within us, Dear friends, our pardon sealed, our peace with God. Oh, this humbles us. But, oh, that love is drawn from our hearts up unto God. None of us know, don't we, what it is to have a love to another. A husband to a wife. Parents to the children. Children to the parents. Their hearts are bound together in love. So it'll be like that with Christ. Bound together in love for him who has loved them and given himself for them. This is the good hope, isn't it, through grace. This is the beginning of that good work. And dear friends, it will never be taken away from you. And that's in which we then can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, says Paul to the Philippians. And again I say, rejoice. Jesus says here, to these who it sent forth when they came back, oh, they said, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. What success they had when they went to preach. But Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But dear friends, surely there is a rejoicing when the word of the Lord goes forth and has power. But dear friends, we have to consider this. Rejoice not that the devils are subject to you. You know, we can easily be led into a spirit within ourselves like that, which lifts one up with pride, which lifts one up with a sense of one's own ability and achievement and goodness. Jesus spoke that solemn parable, didn't he, or word concerning those who said unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not thy name done many wonderful works? It became their plea that what they had done was their hope and rejoicing for heaven above. They trusted in their own achievements, if we can put it as they believed it was their achievements. No, dear friends, rejoice. Oh, with all those ministers. Rejoice not in that the devils, the spirits, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, dear friends, those who completed their own works, their names were not written in heaven. Because Jesus said unto them, depart from me, ye cursed. How solemn is that? To go in a way which seems right, even into the glory, even concern the glory of God, but it's all of one's own self. They've got a rejoicing, yes, in their own achievements, but no rejoicing in Christ their Saviour, in the knowledge of their pardon of their sins, who is to be the whole, the glory within them. Oh, dear friends, don't think these aren't real things, otherwise they wouldn't be in the scriptures, would they? Now we have to search our hearts, don't we, of what sort we are. Not only ministers, but others. Dear friends, we're all got our earthly lives. We've all got those things in which we rejoice in. But they're temporal rejoicings, aren't they? Things which are good for our bodies and for our minds and amongst our loved ones here upon earth. And we have to thank the Lord for them. Now that's where our earthly rejoicing comes in. It's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving because of the good hand of the Lord upon us. We rejoice in Christ our Saviour. Because of that good hand upon us, that love and that mercy toward us which he shows. Oh, let us be clear between the rejoicing in an earthly sense and thanksgiving to God. We can rejoice in many things in our earthly lives and never give thanks to God for them. We can take so many things for granted. Or we can rejoice and joyous and be pleased of ourselves. And a pride can work in all these things, can't it? We're proud of our achievements and rejoice in them. And dear friends, if we've got no thanksgivings to God, then that is evil. I think it's James in that epistle, which is quite searching, isn't it? What James says regarding various things, if I can just turn to it. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. If we rejoice in self, our boasting, our pride of what we've achieved, then pride goeth before destruction, doesn't it? And an haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, how this searches out our hearts, our minds, our spirit. Are we living to the glory of God? Or are we not? Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, dear friends, this is the great rejoicing, isn't it? This is the true rejoicing. We have much to thank the Lord for. Yes. We have this afternoon much to thank the Lord for his providential mercies. And the scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And dear friends, that rejoicing is through thanksgiving to God. Wherever we read rejoicing in the scriptures, dear friends, where is a rejoicing in of the heart? All the real rejoicing is pointing to God. Is pointing to the Lord, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. You look at the references of rejoicing, perhaps in your time. And you see how the rejoicing of ourselves is always to be in the name of the Lord, for his goodness, for his mercy, for his hope, for his loving kindness, his tender mercies. He is to have all the glory. Therefore, our rejoicing is to be in him. Why is that? Well, Paul writes, doesn't he, to various epistles to the churches. He writes to the Philippians and says, for our conversation is in heaven. These are the children saved by grace. These are the ones to whom he has called by grace. These are the ones to whom have been sinners pleading before him for mercy. These are the ones who've been led by the Spirit into the knowledge of his righteousness through his solemn sufferings and death on Calvary's cross. Christ in them, the hope of glory. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Oh, dear friends, what a clear exhortation that is. Rejoice, because our names are written in heaven. Because our names are graven on the palms of the dear Saviour's hands. Rejoice, because our names were given unto Christ in eternity past, chosen in him. Glory, of course, of what Christ has done. I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Oh, our names are written in heaven. Dear friends, how do we truly know they're there? It's by the evidences, isn't it? The evidences that we receive here whilst we're still upon this earth. Oh, you've heard the account, I'm sure, of the old soldier who had retired, and every month he received his pension. And he said, oh, somewhere up there in London, there's a book with my name in it. It must be there because I receive my pension every month. He received the benefit of the proof, that his name was in that roll, that book, that he was a retired soldier. Now, dear friends, if we're a child of God, our name is written in that book of life. We shall receive the evidences of it, some sweet assurances of it, as we journey on through life. And those assurances, dear friends, will be the help of the Lord in the times of our troubles. It'll be the great good hand of God upon us to supply our every need. Answers to our prayers. Oh, what evidence there is there that we are children of God. Dear friends, everyone that is a child of God, saved through the shed blood of Jesus, they will value the throne of grace. They will value that shed blood of Christ. They will value that he, not only the Lamb of the sacrifice for sin, but the glorious High Priest who gave himself as the sacrifice for sin, the one who stands between us and Almighty God. And he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin. But as the sinless Lamb of God, he bore our sins, the innocent for the guilty, as was demanded by the law. And his blood was spilt, bearing our sins, our iniquities, that they be blotted out from before Almighty God in that day of judgment. And dear friends, we shall venture to the throne of grace, pleading that precious name of Jesus, ever to obtain his mercy, ever to receive more of his grace in the time of our need. Dear friends, what is your need? We all have many needs, don't we? Dear friends, we cast all our cares upon him. If we're left to our own selves and decide upon all things for our own selves, we've forsaken him. We desire to walk in his ways. We seek his will to be done. That was the example we had of Ezra this morning, didn't we? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord his God, to seek the knowledge of the law, of the word of God, and to do it, and to do it. And dear friends, as we seek to walk uprightly in the way of our God, it's in that way we shall prove his help. We shall prove more and more tokens of his love. And we shall be lost in wonder, love and praise that, oh, at the mercies we find, his goodness, that helps us day by day. You might say, oh, but our pathway in life is not easy. We have many difficulties and troubles and problems and tribulations. Yes, dear friends. It's in those that we often find the evidence that we are the Lord's. And he is ours. We are the Lord's and he is ours. What does Paul say? He was writing to the Romans, I think it was. He was speaking about we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's the grace and of through Jesus Christ, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. In our tribulations, as we commit them unto the Lord, impatience, waiting, watching for his help to be given to us as we lay it before him, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, trusting that he will exalt us in due time. And we have to endure these sufferings, because Satan is a mighty foe, seeking whom he may devour. So we need that patience and their experience. And that experience is that of hope, because we trust by faith that the Lord will not leave us nor forsake us. We trust by faith in those precious promises, and we receive them. That hope isn't made ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Here he gives us more grace. He renews that love to our soul. Oh, when we pass through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. And he will make that presence known. He will strengthen us. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will strengthen thee. I will hold thee by my right hand. And dear friends, we're supported in times of trouble. And we know it in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, shedding abroad that love within us. Then that becomes our strength to withstand trials and tribulations. Peter, he speaks of these things, doesn't he? It isn't just the one apostle or the one disciple. It's all of them. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. And then he goes on to say, if I can just find those words. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, here's the rejoicing, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part, on their part, sorry, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Well, dear friends, we can expect, can't we, tribulations where we're spoken against, reviled for Christ's sake. Peter said in another place, oh, when we are so reviled, what did Jesus do? He committed it unto his Father who judgeth righteously. And dear friends, so can we, and so should we. Not try to handle these matters ourselves in times of trouble, but to rejoice because we are Christ's. And he is faithful that hath promised. He's done all things for us. Nothing can separate us from his love. And he will use these things to sanctify our souls. He will increase the knowledge of his love within us. He will strengthen us in our faith. And so, dear friends, we find that all these things work together for good. to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, because, dear friends, nothing can blot it out. It's written by the hand of God. You're his and he is yours. Christ is yours. All things are yours. Ye are Christ's and Christ is God's. Oh, one thing perhaps just coming towards an end of this rejoicing. My thoughts go to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's saying about those who are blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus says, fear not, man. Who can, yes, take away your life, but they can do nothing regarding your soul. Fear the Lord, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Dear friends, as we fear the Lord and he makes his mercy known to us, and the forgiveness of our sins and the evidence of his help in life's pathway in answer to our prayers, we have reason to rejoice, don't we? Paul to the Thessalonians says, rejoice evermore. 2 verses later, pray without ceasing. Commit all your way unto him. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. What will he bring to pass? At the end of your days, the entrance into eternal life, because he's begun a good work in you. And he has performed it. His good hand has been upon you all your days. He's delivered you from harms and dangers and every evil. You've had to pass through it, yes. But he has been with you. And through his presence, known and felt, that love shed abroad in your heart. Dear friends, he has been an evidence, tokens of his love, that you are his and he is yours. Then we can die in faith, can't we? Die in hope. Die, dear friends, not fearing the wrath of God, but die expecting the fullness of that love and mercy through the suffering of a precious Saviour. There's how to be our rejoicing. Let us not forget it. Far above all other things, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Oh, we may have influence over many things. But dear friends, we're not to rejoice in our own influence. That won't bring us to heaven, no. We're rather to rejoice because our names are written in heaven through the shed blood of Christ Jesus, who through his blood had power to open those seals. John saw that book of life, didn't he, in heaven? It was sealed up. No one could read those names. And dear friends, it was only through the power of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, that those seals were opened. It was told to John, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And John looked, he didn't see a lion, he saw a lamb that had been slain. Jesus, the power of that shed blood, the power to lay down his life, the power to take it again, that when we die, that book can now be opened, our names found there written beneath the Lord the Lamb. Then, dear friends, let us rejoice in Christ our Saviour all of our days. Amen.